Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome, everybody, to the grand finale of our NICE season, our 2021 seventh annual NICE. Let's do a little introduction first. I'm Sarah E. Morin, and I am here with Alice Cavanaugh-Scober. We are Community Education Arts, and we are joined tonight by some creatives, including Deborah Peterson and Melinda Dubs. Yay. And they'll be sharing some of their created works with us. But first, just a little bit about NICE. NICE stands for Noblesville Interdisciplinary Creativity Expo. And what we do each year is select four works, classic literature pieces, be they full books, short stories, poetry, plays, and then we take a deep dive into the analysis and we think, what can we as artists now create inspired by these works as a whole or by specific passages that we pull out of it? And so we're very excited about tonight because we've done our deep dive.
Yes, we are
ready to present what it is we have created.
Yes. And for everybody that presents tonight, and we do have some pieces we're going to present for people who couldn't join us tonight. But if you want to, when you present, you can also, after you present your piece, you can tell us a little bit about your inspiration and or your creative process, because that is something that we learned a long time ago. Fellow creatives love to hear about. So we always want to make sure that those of us who are here to present have that opportunity to share a little bit about their process and that and what inspired them to create the pieces that they created.
Absolutely. Shall we go ahead and kick off Tarzan of the Apes?
Yes, our most controversial book.
Yes, it was.
Also our only book by a male author. And we went into a deep dive on this one with all the controversial, problematic, racist kind of false science content in this book, but we also had some fun with it too. So
yeah, we had lots of interesting discussions about that. I did want to mention too that we try each year to include marginalized writers of some type in our selected selections.
Yeah, not that Edgar Rice Burroughs is really marginalized, but
mentioning there's some racism things
there. Yeah, well,
definitely. Other selections.
Yeah, definitely. So, yes. How about if I read the quote and then you can start with the presentations? Okay, so this is the selected passage that we had for Tarzan of the Apes. I am Tarzan of the Apes. I want you. I am yours. You are mine. We live here together always in my house. I will bring you the best of fruits, the tenderest deer, the finest meats that roam the jungle. I will hunt for you. I am the greatest of the jungle fighters. I will fight for you. I'm the mightiest of the jungle fighters. You are Jane Porter. I saw it in your letter. When you see this, you will know that it is for you and that Tarzan of the Apes loves you.
We're going to kick this off. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say
we're going to kick this off with a poem by my son, John Cavanaugh, and Sarah E. is going to read it for us.
For You Only by John Cavanaugh. For you only, I am the mightiest jungle fighter, hunting the finest meats of the jungle, finding the supplest of fruits from the trees. I lay them down before your feet. Only I can see we live here together always in our house full of love's tenderest moments roaming the jungle, moments with a child of woman and a man of the apes. When you see this, you will know I am the greatest jungle fighter. You are Jane Porter. I saw it in your letter. I am yours. Are you mine? With love for you, only you, Tarzan of the Apes. Thank you, John. I'm sure you're going to listen to this later.
Yeah, he's at work, so he couldn't be here, but excuse me. Oh, goodness. That's terrible. I have to edit out my coughing.
I'll tell you what I really appreciated about that was this is based on a actual letter that appears in prose form. And I think putting it into poetry form really works when you think about how Tarzan learned language and some of the ways in which he speaks later on. I can see that working so well as thought blocks.
Yeah, I thought so too. And my son sent me a text earlier today saying that he had a lot of fun, you know, being a poetic man of the apes, which I thought was kind of funny. So, okay, well, shall I do mine is next?
Yes,
right?
Please.
Okay, so mine is called Journal Entry Number 286. And
do you want me to go ahead and pull this up?
Yeah, I'll present it first and then I'll tell you a little bit about my inspiration. Okay. Journal entry number
just
2.
Just a moment to pull it up if you don't mind.
That's fine.
I want to do a little share screen.
I could do my tell about my inspiration just real quick.
Sure.
I basically, when we were in our workshop on Tarzan, those of us who were in the workshop will recognize where this idea came from. I decided to write it as a journal entry, kind of as a nod to the yellow wallpaper being in journal form too, but that's a whole other story. Okay, journal entry 286. This morning, I found a handwritten note on my door. I am Tarzan of the Apes. I want you. I am yours. You are mine. We live here together, always in my house. I will bring you the best of fruits, the tenderest deer, the finest meats that roam the jungle. I will hunt for you. I'm the greatest of the jungle fighters. I will fight for you. I'm the mightiest of the jungle fighters. You are Jane Porter. I saw it in your letter. When you see this, you will know that it is for you and that Tarzan of the Apes loves you. At first, I thought it was some sort of joke, you know? I mean, for real, who would do something like that? Leave a note on a stranger's door? I don't know anyone named Tarzan, for one thing. And for another thing, I mean, Tarzan of the Apes? Who or what are the apes, for Pete's sake? And who or what are the jungle fighters? What a laugh, I thought. Then I thought, wait a minute. What letter? This guy knows my name. Has he been reading my mail? In that moment, I felt a little creeped out, so I called the police, half expecting them to laugh at me or even accuse me of wasting their time. But no, they sent out a couple of detectives, like real police detectives. They asked me things like, do I live alone? Yes. Do I have a boyfriend? No. Had I recently broken up with anyone? No. Could I think of anyone who might want to hurt me? No. By this time, I was really creeped out. Do I know who wrote the note? No. Did I see anyone leave the note? No. Did anyone else touch the note besides myself? No. Do I have any dealings with drugs or gangs? No. And a whole bunch of other questions that I can't even remember right now. I mean, drugs? Gangs? What the hell? By the time they finished asking me their questions, I was shaking like a leaf. Didn't feel better when they informed me that there'd been quite a few similar letters left on quite a few single females' front doors in recent weeks. They said they didn't have anything to go on to identify the perp because, like with my case? Jesus. No one had seen whoever was leaving the notes. And apparently, he was smart enough to wear gloves, so they had no DNA or fingerprints. Great, I thought. Just great. I asked, what am I supposed to do now? I guessed I expected some awesome police detective advice, but all I got were cliches. Think about going away for a while. Keep your doors and windows locked. Be aware of your surroundings. And call us if anything else happens. So now the sun's going down and it's getting dark outside. Every creak and groan of my old house startles me. The shadows of tree branches across my windows startle me. And God damn it, I'm afraid in my own house. Who does that guy think he is anyway? What gives him the right to terrorize me or any other woman like this? What an asshole. So So my inspiration came out of our workshop where, you know, we were talking about this passage that is like a love note. And yet it struck me that, you know, in a different setting, I mean, in the setting, in the context of this moment in the story, Jane has no idea who this person is who left this note. The wild man in the jungle that rescued her, she has no idea his name is Tarzan of the Apes because he can't speak her language. He can only speak ape language. He's taught himself to write, and so he writes a letter to her. He assumes she'll know it's who he is. She doesn't know. This is basically like if a stalker left a note on your door. And that was the thought that I had in the workshop, and I decided to run with it. And when I wrote this as a journal entry, it starts out kind of funny, like, this is so crazy. But having experienced stalker in real life, it's not funny. And, you know, so by the end of it, I was able to put some of that, you know, feeling in there that, like, this is, you know, that feeling of how you're hunkered down in your own home because of someone else's behavior. Very creepy. So that's what I wrote for Tarzan of the Apes.
I enjoyed that, Alice, and I think you achieved your goal there. Because yeah, I was laughing at first, and at the end, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's not, it's really kind of creepy. You know, and upon our rereading this year, when I read that part of the book, I was like, poor Jane, that's just like so creepy. You know, some letter.
Okay, I'm going to go next with my Tarzan-inspired essay.
Yay, I've been waiting for this.
Yes, I just have to get on my share screen going on. So one moment.
Are you going to read the whole thing?
No, it's 7 pages, no.
She's doing an excerpt, okay.
All right. And so the topic is exploring can civilization and nature be in harmony, or are they in opposition? Why the threshold is desirable. One day when we were planting flowers at my grandmother's grave, my mother tipped a thumb toward a nearby tombstone. That's where Tarzan's buried. She was talking about James Pierce, the actor who played Tarzan in the 1927 silent film Tarzan and the Golden Lion. Pierce was handpicked by author Edgar Rice Burroughs himself. But the Burroughs who took the real shine to him was the author's daughter, Joan. She married Pierce and later joined him on screen as Jane. Somehow, the couple wound up moving to my hometown and getting themselves buried in the same cemetery as my grandmother. I knew none of this at the time. I thought Mom literally meant Tarzan himself was buried here in his loincloth. My 8-year-old brain wondered why, for the love of Care Bears, would Tarzan pick Little Shelbyville, Indiana, over the excitement of the jungle. I mean, we did have some pretty good trees here. I imagined inviting Tarzan over to climb trees and swing on knotted ropes. I didn't know much about Tarzan at the time, or the white supremacist overtones of the original story. But I did know Tarzan was an Olympics-worthy tree climber, and I respected that. Running off to live in the forest was a fantasy I played at daily. I'm not the only child to do so. In Katherine Peterson's award-winning YA novel, Where is Terabithia But the Meeting of Forest and Imagination? When my cousin came over, we were heroic orphan twins who lived in the woods and rescued lost princes with our impressive arsenal of survival skills and berry potions. In a discussion about play at work, I was stunned to find many of my coworkers had similar childhood memories. When I was 10, I ran away from home. Blame it on Jean Craighead George's book, My Side of the Mountain. In it, our child protagonist lives in a hollow tree for a year, taming falcons and eating acorn pancakes. I collected acorns in Ziploc bags and squirreled them away under the bed. When I had stockpiled enough, I set forth on a country road with a backpack full of acorns and a change of underwear. I turned back after 2 hours, in part for lack of a destination, in part because of a yearning for my detergent-scented sheets in my bed at home. There is something in all of us from a very young age that craves the wilderness. Part of this is a legitimate desire for nature itself, while part of this is a craving for our fantasy of it. In his 2005 book, Last Child in the Woods, Richard Louv coined the phrase nature deficit disorder, He lamented the consequences for all of us as we spend more time indoors. When we are alienated from nature, argues Louvre, we experience diminished use of the senses, attention difficulties, higher rates of physical and emotional illnesses, a rising rate of myopia, obesity, and vitamin D deficiency. During this pandemic, when a daily walk is prescribed as routinely as a spoonful of cod liver oil, how can any of us not acknowledge the benefits of stepping into nature for 15 minutes? Let me be clear. We need nature in a real, literal sense. We also need it in a representative sense. I will call this place the threshold, that doorway between the undisturbed natural world and the human-made one. You have been to the threshold in a physical sense. When you walked a mulched trail through a nature preserve or smelled the lush flowers of an arranged garden, you have been there in a manufactured sense when you decorated your dorm room with posters of waterfalls or fell asleep to a relaxing blend of piano and rain pelting leaves. You have also been to the threshold in a fantastical sense when you visited a zoo and roared with the lions, when you read Robinson Crusoe, Swiss Family Robinson, or The Boxcar Children. Even as adults, we are captivated by the stories of those who can bridge both worlds of the wild and ordinary life. So that's where I'll pause. But what I'm setting up here is the idea that, yes, we need this wilderness. We're called to this wilderness. But at the same time, a lot of us prefer the fantasy and kind of being right there on the cusp. A lot of us just need the taste of the wild, and then we're happy to go back home to our flushing toilets. And I do explore that a bit with, with working in a history museum. I see a lot of people who like, they want the taste of the history and what it was to live in the frontier, but they're happy to see it or to take their class and then to go home again to the flushing toilets. And so I explore that theme and say that, you know, maybe it's okay for most of us to live on that threshold. We want some explorers to go do the big wild things for us. We like Tarzan and the stories there, but the threshold can be just fine. And that's the end of my presentation.
I love that. I want to read the whole thing someday.
I have put it into our
in our Google folder. Yep. Okay, good. I'm going to read the whole thing because that intrigues me. And I love that you mentioned a whole bunch of other books and references like that. And how fascinating. Anyone else have anything to say before we move on?
Fantastic work, ladies.
That's all we have for Tarzan. Just three submission pieces for poor old Tarzan. But I liked them. I think they were all good.
Join us next time for the next part of our 7th annual NICE Presentations event.